A Thought for Your Pennies is hosted by Shauna and Squeaky and explores ways to save money and tips to avoid scams, all while they share their own stories along the way. Get in touch by calling 970-425-3060 or emailing penniespod@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to A Thought for Your Pennies. I'm your host, Shauna, and this is a show where we try to save money together, and I'm here with Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and I keep burning myself on all this flammable or flaming equipment, so I ask Steve to fix it.
That's great, Squeaky. And we're here with Steven, who has over 20 years of HVAC experience, learned in the trade from our dad, but is here to talk about how can you save money on HVAC. So, Steven, what are the most common things that you see when you get called out on maintenance to homes and other places where you think people are just, like, wasting money?
So changing the filters regularly and cleaning it is the biggest thing that'll save you money, because it's all about heat exchange, and the cleaner the coils are, the more efficient the thing is, the less time it has to run. The cleaner your filter is, the easier it is to push air out. The better air volume you get, the easier it's run. So most filters are rated for 90 days. I wouldn't suggest putting more than 30.
Really?
Yeah. You can get a service, they'll send you filters by mail every month, and they're like collapsible, so you just uncollapse them and throw them in and throw the old ones out, and it's easy to remember because they send you one and you just put it in and they'll send you another one next month.
What I do is I buy like a box of like six of them, and I label them each for the month, the day they're supposed to go in, and then, you know, periodically when I'm in the laundry room, I just check that, and hey, let me swap them out. And usually I get it done in the next day or two after the filters are supposed to go in.
Yeah.
People saying, like, every time they have a monthly bill of some sort, like when they pay the mortgage, that's when they remember to change their filter.
Yeah,
but
that's
I like the idea
Dad
of a mail service.
He's like, every time you pay your light bill, change your filter. But the service is nice because then you don't have to go out. I don't know price-wise. They're probably not the cheapest option, but they give you decent quality filters for a fair price. And they just mail it to your house, and they're collapsible. So they just unfold like a pop-up tent, and you just shove them in.
Interesting.
Where they belong.
Is low-quality filters a serious problem?
So there's a thing called a MERV rating on filters, and depending on the age of your equipment and if you have allergies, if you have special needs, this will really get what you determine. So like the blue, just fiberglass filters, the really old kinds, that's like a MERV rating of like 2. And
Like it'll stop like a brick from getting into your furnace.
Yeah, it'll long pieces of hair from your pets is mostly what it stops.
Okay.
And so I recommend between like a 5 and 8, closer to the 5. My dad recommends the blue ones. He's just like, the older, you know, that's all you need. Yeah, they'll be fine.
Is it true, like, the higher the MERV rating, like, the more finer particulate it blocks, so the harder your furnace has to work to get the air to get through it?
Yes, so the higher the MERV rating, the more resistance for your fan motor, and the more stuff it picks up, so it will get dirtier faster and then make it even more resistance.
During allergy season, I put some pretty high MERV rating filters in there because I want the air to be cleaner. But I also change it every 2 weeks. Is that enough?
If your equipment is functioning normally, then yes. Like I said, the 1-inch filters are rated for 90 days. I recommend them for every 30. But if you're putting in an even higher MERV filter in, then you'll have to do every 2 weeks or even every week, depending if, like, when you had the fires going on, you had all that smoke, people had to change them every couple of days.
Or have you guys seen the yellow clouds in Atlanta?
I've not.
The pollen clouds?
Yeah. I guess in spring and fall, like, it's like smog in L.A. in the 80s. It was just, you couldn't see all the way down like a street.
It's because
like
they planted too many male trees, and it's too much pollen going out there. If you had an equity In the male and female trees you planted, you wouldn't have pollen clouds like that. Mm. Tree pollen, yeah. So what about cleaning your coils? Is that like an outside thing, an inside thing? How do you do that?
So you have an indoor coil and an outdoor coil. So this is hard because there's all kinds of different setups you can have. And you might have like a heat pump or a water source heat pump that uses groundwater, or there's all kinds of different ways you can do this.
Okay.
Most common is you'll have a large square outside your house, and that's your condensing unit. The evaporator, you can't get to easily, and if you change your filters often, you don't need to. But there's no filter for the outdoor unit.
So, yeah, that's the my house is a big, it's a big radiator, but there's the fan that blows upward, right? It's like I think the most common kind of AC in the U.S. So once a year, I take the outside like shroud off and I hit it with the hose and I pull the pollen and cottonwood seeds out. And that's all I do. Is that enough?
And yeah, if I didn't, so that's do that, what would happen? More than I would recommend, because because it's weatherproof, right?
Yeah.
So you can just hit it with a hose without disconnecting the power. As long as you're not spraying the hose water up into the power box, there's no amount of water that's going to hurt it. And if you just wash it at the beginning of summer season and in the middle of the heat season, especially like June, July, when all the cottonwood drops, when all that stuff is. So you just wash it at the beginning. You don't have to take the shrouds off. Just hit it with some water. Now, you don't use a pressure washer. You don't bend the fins, because if you bent a fin, it might as well
reduces
be dirty.
Reduces airflow.
Yeah, right. it's worse than being dirty, and unless you go in with a butter knife and bend them all back, it's just boned forever.
Got it. So you said go in there with a butter knife, right? So you can straighten the fins. So if you actually bend the fins, you're not damaging it. But it sounds like if you want to get maximum efficiency and you have no value to your time, you can just get in there with, like, all your cutlery, forks and knives to get it all perfectly straight, but...
Your barbecue cleaner, just, like, put that on the fins.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it, but yeah, you could.
Well, I tell you, when I was growing up and I would go with my dad as a kid on service calls, that was, like, the first thing he did is he would go outside and he would hose off a dirty outdoor unit, and then he would go inside and he would, like, clean all the filters and everything. And I swear, most of the time, people are like, oh, it's working now.
No.
So how often did that happen to you when you went on service calls?
All the time, like 2 or 3 times a week. It was just like, okay, I cleaned it, and now it works. Because a dirty filter reduces airflow, and then it'll freeze. The evaporator will freeze, and then you'll get water all over the floor, and that's when people notice. And the dirty condenser just makes it run forever because it can't transfer heat out because it's just like wearing a blanket.
So there you go, folks. If you want to save money, save yourself a maintenance call. Do the routine, swapping the filters, hosing off the outdoor unit, making sure stuff is clean and it's able to pull air and function properly. And then you can save yourself of having to pay somebody like Steven to come out and fix it.
Yeah. Now, you also had a list of things. Do we want to see what Steven thinks of these lists that you found online?
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up doing HVAC stuff, so I know some stuff, but I don't know everything. So we're going to see if what I know is good or bad. So one thing about HVAC is that if you want to save money, you should check air leaks. Check your windows, doors, ducts, attic hatches. Caulking and weather stripping can prevent heat and cool air loss. My energy company will actually come and do an audit of where they put a blower through the front door, and they will go through and they will tell you how well sealed your house is or isn't and make recommendations for you. So, Steven, do you think that makes a big deal in savings?
Yeah. Definitely, but... So that's like a different project, like fixing your windows to upgrade their how much air you lose versus how much heat you drain. That's not usually an HVAC thing, but that will definitely affect your heating and cooling. And like the insulation in your attic, having attic fans. Also, like during the summer, if you have like a 2-story or 3-story house, you can just run the fan only all the time, and that'll take cold air from the basement or the lower levels and put it upstairs, so you don't get as bad as like a hot house syndrome where you have like the top floor is incredibly hot and then the bottom floor is freezing and you can't. So if you just run the fan constantly during those high temperature or low temperature, it'll keep an even temperature in your house.
I remember as a kid, we would be driving through the neighborhood and my dad would be able to point out houses that were not properly insulated in the wintertime because they grew icicles way longer and way bigger than any of the other houses on the street. And he was like, yep, that's because they don't have enough insulation. So the hot air is rising up into the attic and it's melting all the snow on top down through the roof, but then it's coming off the sides and refreezing again, and that's how you get those giant icicles when you don't have proper insulation.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't that also just be people growing weed in the attic?
Would happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Your attic is really hot. There's a couple of reasons, but I think most of the time, not having enough insulation.
Well, if they insulated their weed farm properly, you wouldn't have that issue.
The message is the same, right?
All right, don't air condition the neighborhood. Insulate your weed farm. These are takeaways our listeners can use.
Yeah. Well, and another tip that I've got is a programmable thermostat, where if you set it to lower temps in the winter and higher temps in the summer, still comfortable, but change it while you're away or while you're sleeping, that can save money too. What do you think about that, Stephen?
So, like, the thing with thermostats is kind of weird because the Nest thermostats and the Honeywells and all that internet-connected thermostats, those are, I would say, expensive baubles that do more harm than good.
Having
a programmable thermostat is fine, but if you're going to come back the same day, don't change the temperature more than 5 degrees. Because if you drop it by like 10 degrees while you're gone, or raise it by 10 degrees while you're gone, then it's just going to be not, it's going to have to work so hard to get it back to where you want it when you want it. So, yeah, that will save you some money dropping it 5 degrees while you're not there, but it also has to be while no one's there. So if someone's at your house, you know, a programmable thermostat, if someone's working from home or if someone's, you know, the children are home or something like that, the programmable thermostat's not going to do you any good. And
so you're saying, like, if you're gone for a week, then yeah, set it 10 degrees cooler or hotter,
yeah,
or whatever.
Set it above freezing.
Right. And always above freezing, right? That's a good point. But it, like, during the day, it doesn't, you know, the constant changing of it outside of 5 degrees is not really worth it.
No, it's you're losing more than you're making when you're doing more than 5 degrees.
On the whole internet-connected devices, do you need an app for your thermostat? Do you really need to, like, go to some web page to control that? We as an industry, again, I'm the computer background, right? We don't know how to make secure things. Just don't. The Internet of Things is a cesspool of viruses and nonsense. You will install it. There won't be any updates from the manufacturer, and it'll stop working because 4 million viruses will be on it as soon as you connect to the internet.
And so, as your average consumer person who doesn't pay attention to details like that, I will say that having all of my stuff available to me through my phone is very convenient. Like, being able to open and close my garage door, being able to see what's on my front door cam, being able to turn on and off my thermostat or adjust it by however much, stuff like that. But what I want is for all of that to remain internal. I don't understand why I have to subscribe to anything or have it sent to some cloud to make it happen. So I just want to be able to do it from my phone.
I get where you're coming from, that it's convenient, but I can see all your shit too. That's how insecure this stuff is.
Yeah,
and you want it inside your house? It's kind of hard, actually, to make servers and the infrastructure reliable. And that's why they have an engineer back at the company do it. So,
yeah. All right, well, we're a little off topic with the Internet of Things, but, you know, if you're going to be at home, don't change it more than 5 degrees. If you're going to be gone for a week, make sure it's above freezing, but that's when you can do more than 10 degrees. That's a great tip for saving money. And, Stephen, do you think that using ceiling fans or fans in rooms makes a big difference, or do you think that those don't really matter a whole lot?
So that'll still, again, help with, like, the thermal climb, where you'll have higher temperatures higher up and lower temperatures down. It's all about comfort, because you don't technically need any of this. So if you're comfortable with just a fan, and if that works for you, then perfect.
And yeah. running a fan is just going to be cheaper than running a condenser.
Oh, yes.
By and quite the condenser is what makes our air conditioners work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And do you believe in, like, the changing the fan directions? Like, in the summer, run counterclockwise to cool, and then run clockwise in the winter to push warm air down?
I've never bothered with it, so I cannot speak to its efficacy.
So I do that because in the winter I want hot air moving from the ceiling down.
Back down, but, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what Stephen said. It's all about comfort, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another set of tips is upgrading your system. Upgrading to a high-efficiency HVAC system, Energy Star rating, they can use up to 20% less energy. What do you think, Stephen?
So that's great, but the technology's changing a lot. And about 10 years ago, they changed the refrigerant that's in your compressor, and they're changing it again next year. And they'll most likely keep changing it because the original refrigerant was R12, and it's... That was, like, before my time. I've only seen, like, two functioning R12 units in my 25 years career. But, so, R22 is bad for the ozone layer. R410A, which is what's standard right now, is less bad. And right now, you're going to have to change to R32 next year. So
if you have a heat pump, are you still using coolant?
Yes. So the only difference between a heat pump and a regular air conditioner is a heat pump has a reversing valve, so it can make the refrigerant flow the opposite way. So instead of taking heat out of your home, it's putting heat into your home.
Okay, cool. Well, I have two more ways that you can save money on HVAC. One is to check for local rebates with your utility companies or the government. They offer cashback programs for upgrades because they want the grid to be more efficient. And there are some tax credits available. Some HVAC systems qualify for federal energy savings like heat pumps, but you have to look and see because a lot of federal regulations in the states are changing right now around these kinds of things. But the utility company, I mean, like when I said that my utility company came through and did a blower test, it was part of their rebate program. When I put more insulation in my roof, I got a rebate from my utility company as well because they want to be able to have their customers be more efficient.
So in my area, the power company is doing a thing where they will pay for a smart thermostat and you'll get something like $10 or $20 off your bill, but they want to control the thermostat during certain times. So
Yeah,
you sign a thing that's like, yeah, we're just going to turn off your AC when we want to. And I'm like,
Yeah, so they used to have just boxes on the outdoor units that would kill them on peak. So during the hottest part of the day, it would just shut off your air conditioner. And whenever I got a call for one, it was already either previously disconnected or I just disconnected it.
Yeah, because like I have a bunch of computers, and if the AC stops and my computers break, that's way more than $10 or $20 a month. But I can imagine some people would like that, but, you know, presuming that you are getting some sort of savings for having this.
Well, so what my utility company offered was like a more expensive flat rate where I could pay more money compared to than if I let them have control of my thermostat. And if I let them have control of my thermostat, they also tied it to when I use energy, I have different pricing. So the highest pricing is between like 4 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. generally, because that's when everybody's coming home and you start cooking your food and you start running your dishwasher and you turn the AC 4 degrees higher or lower or whatever it is, right? Like that's when peak time happens for the utility company, and they charge me the most premium for that time. But then if I do things like, okay, I'm going to set my dishwasher to run 2 hours from now after 10 o'clock, or I will start the dryer after I go to bed, right? Then the pricing, that's the lowest pricing until 6 a.m. And then from like 6 a.m. till the 3 or 4 p.m., that's the second highest pricing. That for using energy for anything. So it's like the smart thermostat and the energy meter, they bring it together of like how much energy you're using. They use a different pricing. And that's the cheapest way to do it to try and change their customer behavior. So to prevent peak energy versus, or I could just say, all right, I don't want to have to do all this stuff and think about when I'm running my washer or dryer or whatever. And I'm just going to pay way more for energy. so that the energy company doesn't know or can't price me at different price points.
It adds a supply and demand element. Just, it seems so small to me, because it's like, oh, you want $10 a month for the ability to break thousands of dollars of my equipment. It's so obviously the wrong choice for me. But for some people, it's got to be the right choice. Otherwise, they'd set that price differently, right?
Yeah, I mean, I decided to do the pricing with the during peak time and off-peak time pricing because I have a house full of people, like six people at one point. So I was like, I need to save on these utilities and figure out how I can tell the kids, hey, you take showers after 8 p.m. because it's going to be too expensive to have you take a shower and run the water heater during peak.
So, Stephen, is there any other ways we should be saving money dealing with HVAC and home efficiency?
Or what do you always do to be like, I'm not going to waste my money on this?
So with repair versus replace, like you'll always get a higher efficiency when you're replacing it, unless things have like gone very bad for you or you have to replace it at the same efficiency. So a furnace usually lasts between like 20-25 years. An air conditioner only lasts about 15 to 20 years. So you're going to have to replace these a couple of times if you own your own home anyway. And if you're replacing it right now, you're probably jumping from like a 9 SEER to up to a 16 SEER. Or you could get a 13 SEER. It's a little cheaper, but it'll be less efficient.
What are SEERs?
Yeah.
So SEER rating is the efficiency rating of the air conditioner. So it's about how much amperage versus coolant air cooling you get. So, and furnaces are rated differently for how efficient they are, because their efficiency, it's about how efficient they are pulling the heat out of the gas, not how efficient they are about heating your home. So
by
it's a
gas,
different...
you mean the refrigerant stuff? Not
no,
like,
no.
Not
the, for the
methane
furnaces,
gas?
They're gas, like natural gas furnaces. Not.
Oh, but what about electric furnaces?
If you're getting a heat pump, it'll be the SEER rating. But heat pumps only work when it's a certain degree outside. They're mostly good to around 0 degrees Fahrenheit. But if you live in a place that gets lower than 0 degrees Fahrenheit, the heat pump isn't going to be good enough for you. If you have an electric heat backup, those can work together because you put the electric heat after the heat pump.
Okay.
So it really breaks down to like what you exactly have, and there's different efficiency ratings for different pieces of equipment. So it gets very complicated very quickly, and it changes drastically based on where you live and what exactly you have going on. So there's not really good general advice I can give you. It's just finding a good HVAC person is like finding a good car mechanic, except you talk to them less. So word of mouth is
pretty
great.
Important. Yeah.
Online checking is good, but I know the company I worked for last, it was very diligent about managing their online space, and they more diligent about managing their online space than they were about their quality, in my opinion.
Okay, so we're going to get into that. We're going to get into scams in our next segment, where we'll talk about different HVAC scams that Steven's aware of, what you can do to some different ideas. So stay with us as we get into scams of HVAC here on A Thought for Your Pennies. Hey there, Penny Thinkers. This is the ad part of our show that you want to skip over, but I don't want you to skip it because I want you to help out people who have survived the LA fires. And we have this link for you, linkcuts.org/LA fires. If you go there, there's a Google spreadsheet that has a ton of different organizations to help out the victims of the LA fire. Would love if you could show your support for our show by supporting the survivors.
I don't know what you said, Shauna, but I wholeheartedly agree that we should help people in the LA fires. So yeah, was that linkcuts.org/LA fires, all lowercase?
Yeah, that is the link, linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Well, I support you think I am. Fires prevent money donate.
Did I just word salad?
If you didn't, I got lost.
Oh, Man, the important thing is linkcuts.org/LA fires. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm your host, Shauna, and I'm here with Squeaky.
Hey, this is Squeaky, and I'm a professional getting angry at scammers.
That's right, Squeaky, and that's why we're so glad to have you on while we talk to Steven about different HVAC scams. And coming right out of the gate, Steven, I got a question. Is this a scam? I saw something on social media where people... It basically tapes a filter to the top of your ceiling fan blades and says, this is just like an air filter because the fan blades are moving through the air, collecting particulate just like a filter that you would buy on the ground that does the same thing. It pulls air through a filter. So, Steven, what do you think? Putting filters on top of fan blades, is that a scam?
Hang on. Before we have Steven guess, yeah. Right? Why don't we say what we think it is in a single word? Okay? What do you think it is?
We go 1, 2, 3, and then we both say, like, sure. It's real, or it's a scam?
Sure.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Scam.
Stupid.
Right, yeah.
I mean, technically, it will work, just... It just seems inefficient and bad. I mean,
on the commercial I saw, it's like the filters. They're like, see, it's dirty. It works just like your fan blades get dirty because they're moving air. But now you're moving air through a filter and then you clean it. And so you're taking all the dirty stuff out of the air by taping a filter to the top of your fan blade.
Like, this is one of those that, like, from a technical, like, physics perspective, this works. But this is so dumb. Because this is not the right way to do it. Filters work because you force air through them, right?
Yeah.
And you can force air through a thing by just waving it around really fast. But that's not a ceiling fan. This is just dumb.
It also sounds like it will add significant amperage to your ceiling fan and cause it to break.
Drag on the blades. Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's a good point. Yeah. All right. So that's one scam. You ready for the next scam, Squeaky?
No, never.
Okay. So this is like what Steven was saying earlier about how finding a good HVAC person is like finding a good car mechanic. If the tech comes and says things like, your system is dangerous. Tech claims that your system has a cracked heat exchange or a carbon monoxide leak and must be replaced immediately. Steven, are there legit scenarios in which you need to immediately replace your entire system?
Yes. It will kill you. Okay,
so, what are those legit things?
Okay, so you should definitely have a carbon monoxide tester in your home. So carbon monoxide's all about volume over time. Because if you just walk behind your car while it's running, you'll be hit with like 400 parts per million carbon monoxide if it's like an older car. Not if it's an electric vehicle, obviously. And that will have no effect on you. But if you have around 5 parts per million, 8 to 10 hours a day, you will start getting nauseous. You'll have memory loss. You'll have headaches. So
a sense of doom.
Yeah.
It's like the best symptom of a thing.
Yeah.
People will say they see
that's
ants.
That's a legit symptom? Like you feel like the world's ending and it turns out you're just inhaling carbon monoxide?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. As Carrie Poppy from another podcast, Oh No, Ross and Carrie, she gave a TED talk about how she used to believe in ghosts and stuff, but her podcast is all about skepticism. And it turns out that after tons of like trying to get people to find ghosts in her house, an HVAC person came over and was like, yeah, you have carbon monoxide. They swapped it out. And her sense of doom and the ghosts went away.
Oh, that's incredible. Okay. All right.
Yeah, okay. So I guess I'm adding another source to the show notes.
Yeah,
sorry.
You should do that.
Have a good carbon monoxide tester. They come standard with almost all new fire smoke alarms.
And have it, like, in closer proximity to your furnace HVAC system, right?
No, that doesn't matter.
Really?
The carbon monoxide is... Because if... So the heat exchanger is, you like, the exhaust that burns exchange heats the air that's being blown out of your house. If that heat exchanger cracks... Then exhaust leaks directly into the air that's being blown all through your house. So you will not get more carbon monoxide in your furnace room. You should definitely have one in there anyway if, like, the water heater breaks, so you can get carbon monoxide there, but it'll be everywhere in your house. So just have all of your smoke detectors also detect for carbon monoxide.
So what are other some other scenarios that they would be like, you need to change your system immediately?
So the carbon monoxide is the only one. And if you don't have gas furnace, that's like, I guess they could say that there's an electrical issue and they think it's going to cause a fire. And so they'll tag it out. Like if I go to a place and I read with my manometer that it has any above zero parts per million carbon monoxide coming through the registers, I turn off the gas valve, I shut off the gas, I disconnect the spark igniter or the igniter so the system cannot work. Mm. And I'm like, you can get a new unit from us, you can get a new unit from someone else, but this is not going to run when I leave. Our company, or all of the companies I've worked for, will offer space heaters for free.
Like, oh, really?
Like, here's space heaters to get you through until you get a new unit. You don't have to buy a new unit from us. Just let us know when we pick the space heaters up. But this is off now.
Can I tie this back to our growing checklist of ways to look for scams?
Sure, yeah.
So often scammers try to build a sense of urgency. Do this now or disaster, right? But in this case, the disaster's real. So we have to be able to figure out how to separate the do this now or disaster from money.
Well, I think one indicator that this is real is that they turned your gas off. And they said, look, you could either get a new system from me or somebody else, but this system is off because I turned it off because it's a danger to you. I mean, I feel like if you had unscrupulous practices and you turned it off and said, oh, I turned it off, even though the unit was working fine, that's like almost criminal.
Those are two points. They're scammers.
So that happened before. I've gone to a place where it's like, oh, they told me I had a carbon monoxide leak and they turned everything off. So I turn everything back on and I check for a carbon monoxide leak. I don't find one. I'm like,
Wow.
Because, they're like, I have a carbon monoxide tester. It never went off. Now, the testers we have are much more sensitive than your
The home ones.
Yeah. Because the home ones are, again, designed for parts over time. So they usually will only go off if you have more than 3 parts per million for, like, more than an hour.
Even if your system gets turned off, you don't have to buy a new system from the person who turned it off. They'll get you space heaters, and then you can get a second opinion.
They're not obligated to give you space heaters, but they definitely can't demand you buy through them now.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. That's the scam part. The sense of urgency is real. Or the sense of urgency comes from a thing that might be real, as opposed to so many of our scams are fake. Right? Yeah. Like calling you.
They're like, if you buy a unit from me today, I'll take $500 off. But if you get a unit from somebody else or get a second opinion, then I won't be able to sell you this unit because blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yep. That should raise your hackles. If somebody wants you to buy the thing now, whether or not there's a real possibility of a threat, it's a problem.
That seems like a good way to navigate that possible scam. And then what do you do if your tech says you need to replace the whole thing, even though it might just be like a minor issue where they just need a part, but you don't need to replace the whole unit or the whole system?
So there's no way for you to know unless you have the HVAC skills. So you just have to go through a reputable company and hope that they haven't started issuing commissions-based sales.
How can you check for that, and why does that matter?
I would straight up ask the person you are scheduling with and then ask your technician separately. I would ask them both.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Because the scheduler would be like, oh, no, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
And
they have a script.
The guy
They'll
shows up,
you.
He's like,
Well, yeah. Neither of them are specifically trained to lie, but either of them could be like, oh, yeah, you don't want commission-based sales, so I'm going to lie to you. Because if you have to train your people to lie, then you leave documents where you can just sort of insinuate that you want to tell your customers good for the company, and then the people just know to lie on their own.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
So that's why you have to ask two different people. And it just changes the incentive. If it's commission-based and they're not hourly, then they need to find things on every call, or else they don't get paid as much on for that call. So they don't want to leave your house without fixing something. So this is another like pseudo scam that you'll get, because you'll see people at like Home Depot or other places saying they'll do a furnace check for you for $35 or $99 or
that feels sketch.
A low amount of money. Now, to have a professional come out, a professional's paid for somewhere between like $25 and $35 an hour, and it takes 2 hours to do a furnace check, a thorough one. So if they're getting paid $35 an hour and you're just paying the company $35 and they're there for 2 hours, they're losing money. So that technician won't leave your house until he's found something to fix.
So the free furnace check is the $1.50 Costco hot dog to get into your house. Yeah, okay.
And so that'll happen a lot. So you usually will end up paying like $250 for a furnace maintenance.
Like an inspection, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I got another scam. The fake Freon recharge for R22 systems. They top off your system with outdated refrigerant and charge a premium. And Freon is actually being phased out. It's super expensive. And if you have an R22, you should start planning to replace it.
Yeah. So if you can, hold out until next year when the R32 is on the market. Because right now it's R410A is replaced R22. And now we're going to R32.
So may I generalize your advice?
Yeah.
If you're considering recharging your AC, look at what it would take to replace and try to do a little bit of reading up and see what's coming down the pipe. If there's something really good coming next year, consider just recharging this year. If there's no real big changes, consider replacing now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And is it R22 that's in particular that's expensive, or is it like just refrigerant in general is very expensive?
Okay. So you can no longer manufacture R22. So the R22 that is in stock is all that is available. Now you can reclaim R22, and if you filter it, you can then resell it. But that's pretty rare. So most people buy the reserve of R22, and a 30-gallon tank will run you close to $1,000. And they won't charge you what they paid for it. They will charge you what they think they will need to replace it, plus a profit.
Okay.
What was the nature of this scam? You said somebody offers to give you free Freon, which is the street name.
No. They don't offer to give it to you for free. They say you need to charge up your refrigerant, your Freon.
Yes.
And if you have R22, they're saying, okay, we need to charge it up. And R22 is the most expensive type that's out there. And rather than tell you, if they were scrupulous, they'd be like, look, you got an old system, the refrigerant needs to be charged up to use it, but I would just say get a new system because R22 is not being made anymore. It's expensive. We have 410A now and 32 is coming out or whatever. Good. This brings me to another question, because you mentioned that, if you're a contractor or if you're a HVAC maintenance company, you get access to parts and prices that the consumer doesn't really get access to. Like, I remember as a kid
going
to Johnstone, that was the contract supplier, to get the A-coil, to get the furnace stuff, to get the refrigerant, to get the acetylene torch, like all this different stuff. And so how do you know if somebody is like, hey, so that A-coil that you want replaced is $10,000? Like, how are you supposed to Google that and figure out, actually, A-coils are only running for $2,000 when there's contractor pricing?
You really can't. So if you called me to your house and you're like, hey, I looked online and this is what I want and this is how much it costs, I'll be like, cool, you put it in, peace. You don't tell me how to do this. That's not how this works. I'll give you options and then you pick. But you don't just tell me what I'm doing and how much I'm charging
for. Right, but if you're worried about getting scammed by somebody saying this part is this much money, like basically you should just call another reputable company and get a second opinion.
Yes, right? Getting multiple quotes,
Yeah.
Not always going with the cheapest, because you're not just price hunting. You want someone who's established and will be there when you call back. You want someone who wants repeat business from you. You want someone who's going to develop a relationship with you, and that their goal isn't just to sell you today, but for the rest of your time owning this home, you call them when you need HVAC stuff. That's the relationship you want to build. But someone who makes a new LLC for their business every 2 months and just burns through their reputation and then rebrands, and they just go on Google and they are an HVAC company. So you just boop, boop, boop. So checking reviews, getting multiple estimates, and then talking to the person. And you want someone who's going to build a long-term relationship with you, not just this is going to be your only interaction.
And that advice is really generalizable to most kinds of transactions. You don't want to do business with someone who's just trying to take your money. You want to do business with someone who wants to stay in business with you. And that's hard for some things. But
this makes me appreciate our dad all the more, because dad just went out and fixed HVAC systems on the side, because he worked at the post office since the mid-90s. And then he did HVAC stuff as a hobby. And so it was great to work with him, because he wasn't totally profit driven by this stuff. And I can't tell you the amount of times I would go on a call with him and they would be like, but the other HVAC company, blah, blah, blah. Or he would see stuff and it was installed totally wrong. And you know, and he was always the kind of person who got up in the middle of the night, midnight, 1 a.m. when it's like the coldest of winter and people called him in an emergency because their heat stopped working all of a sudden.
Nice.
He would go out there and make sure. And I was like, Dad, why are you doing this? It's like 1 in the morning. And he's like, Shauna, people are cold. Like, people need this. Like, it's an important thing. He, I think, had a fulfilling career by doing HVAC stuff, by helping people in this way. I mean, yeah, it's one thing. It's like, okay, it's about your comfort, about being too hot or too cold. But, you know, when there are brownouts, when there are electrical storms that heat systems and cold systems no longer work, people do bake to death. People do freeze to death, especially vulnerable people. So my dad always felt pretty good about helping people this way.
So what I'm picking up this episode is that your dad's never going to hear this part, because he hung up when he broke the piece of furniture.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we didn't even tell that story. When you think about HVAC scammers, this was something that Steven and I grew up seeing all the time, about how people were getting scammed on HVAC. And my dad just had a really big heart for people, about fixing them at a price that was, you know, would still make him a profit, but it wasn't price gouging and it wasn't unscrupulous. He was a good, honest person. He did the best he could. Yeah.
If you're not charging a profit, you can't do the thing. And you can't do the thing sustainably. You have to. And that's different than gouging, like you're saying. Yeah.
Right. And I remember Dad, I mean, there's a lot of people who are like community, family, business, trades people. Because Dad learned a lot of his trade from this guy named Gordon. Do you remember Gordon, Steven?
Yep. I remember Gordon.
Yeah. Gordy was like 1,000 years old, so he couldn't do most of the HVAC stuff, but he would ride around with Dad and me, and he would tell us everything we had to do, and, you know, kind of passed on the trade to my dad, as much as the technical college that Dad went to, too.
Nice.
Dad actually got a lot of Gordy's business, because Gordy built the business that way, by just wanting to work with people and not scamming them, and that's how Dad got most of his clients, was from Gordy.
So, switching back to scams.
Yeah.
We know building relationships is kind of the opposite of scams. Have we already gone through your full list of possible scams?
Well, I mean, I talked about how building a family business is really good too, but there is something about unlicensed or uninsured contractors. So there's like, you know, people like my dad and Gordy who are learning from each other, but they were always licensed, right?
Yeah.
And there are people who aren't. Like, I remember I used one of those TaskRabbit or Thumbtack apps to have somebody replace the broken window in my garage. And they showed up at my house, and I had already paid them through Thumbtack. And they were like, well, I don't have the window piece. Do you have the window piece? And I was like, no, I don't know, like, if you need the size of the glass, like, what size it needs to be to go in there. And he's like, I'm going to go to the hardware store and get your glass, and I'll be right back. And I never heard from the guy again. And there was no way to, like,
money?
Yeah, and there was like no way to complain through the app because it was like a brand new app. But yeah, so you have people who are like on Nextdoor saying, hey, I'm just a handy person. But I think you should still ask, like, hey, are you insured? Do you have your license?
Yeah, I still would consider hiring someone off Nextdoor, even if they said they weren't insured. But I'm going to like get a good rate from them. I'm going to like...
I don't know. I mean, when you're talking about Steven scared us straight talking about carbon monoxide poisoning, it's like, ooh, I don't know if I'm going to get somebody. I mean, somebody who's not licensed and insured.
It depends what I'm doing. Like, for installing a window, I mean, like, I can check that, right? I know how to install a window.
Yeah, right.
But, like, for carbon monoxide, okay, no, I'm getting someone licensed and insured for something that can kill me.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, the other scam is the bait and switch pricing. They quote a super low price and then track on a surprise fees later. That's kind of like what Steven was talking about, of like, oh, get your furnace tune up for $35, and then it turns out I replace your filter for you and that filter was $130, so your total with tax today is blah blah blah. So that's another scam to look out for. But that's all the scams, list of scams that I've got. Steven, do you remember any more, anything we didn't mention?
No, not really. I mean, it's hard. It's even harder now to, like, find reputable, or to, like, build reputable. So you want to get someone you personally know who's worked with the company before is, like, the best way. Because even, like, with online reviews and stuff
online
like that.
Online reviews, yeah.
I know previous company was very diligent about managing their online reviews. Like, I remember walking into the office and they're like, oh, someone gave you a low review. And I was like, oh no, not my review score. And I just kept walking and they're like, okay, no, that is something we care about. I was like, no, I did fine work. They're angry. They can be angry. That's not my problem.
Yeah, you want somebody who does the job right, right? Not like totally makes you feel all warm and fuzzy about it.
That's the thing. Customers don't have a distinction for that because they can't. Right? When I'm writing software, how could you possibly check that I wrote good or bad software, Shauna? If you need software from me that does a thing, it either does the thing or it doesn't, but you don't know about the quality of any of the soft bits. So if I left you with a good feeling, you're going to feel better about it than if I leave you with a bad feeling.
I don't know. I feel like when I'm working with folks who are in the trades, because I grew up with somebody in the trades, I feel like I'm not really interested in their bedside manner, like if they make me feel good. I'm interested is if they're honest, right? Like, if sometimes people get mad when you tell them the honest thing, like, hey, your thing is leaking carbon monoxide, I turn the gas off. And then they're mad at you. They're like, how dare you? At least I had heat before, and now I don't, you know? And it's like, okay, but I'm honest, because now your family is not going to die from carbon monoxide poisoning. And yeah, it's inconvenient that you need to get it replaced. Sometimes there's just things that you have, like, that it doesn't matter how good your customer service is. Like, people are mad at you.
Yeah, on a factual level, you're absolutely correct. And this feels so swapped now, doesn't it? Because I'm the one who's constantly saying facts matter. But when you're dealing with other people, they respond to vibes. That's just how most people work. So yes, I would love for every one of my customers to understand like you, but that's not people.
Right, right. And Steven is like showing up like Sasquatch, and he's like, where's your HVAC thing? And he goes down there and he fixes it, and then he leaves, you know? And then people are like, what? Why aren't you complimenting my home? And Steven's like, because that's not my job. My job was to come and fix your thing. Or how would you describe it, Steven?
I mean, yeah, that's pretty spot on. I mean, I will explain to someone like how HVAC works until the cows come home. I'll talk about pressure temperature resistances. I'll tell them how the Fahrenheit scale got invented. I will tell them more than they could ever want to know about their cooling system. But if they want me to compliment them on their decor, I'm just like, I don't know. You can sit on anything.
I think hearing about how the Fahrenheit scale was invented would be a great way to end this.
Okay, thanks, Benny Thinker, so much for learning about scams today. We are not going to get into the Fahrenheit scale and save you some time, which maybe will save you some money. If you have tips and tricks that we didn't cover with Stephen today on our guest about as our guest, thank you so much, Stephen, for coming and doing the HVAC with us today. If you have tips you want to share with us or things that we missed, you can email us at penniespod@gmail.com, or you can give us a call at 970-425-3060 and leave us a short message and we'll share it on air so we can all learn how to save money together.
Yeah, I mean, I think hearing about the death battle between Celsius and Dr. Fahrenheit would be all that we need, right?
The show is over.